Okay, so we'll see how long we take on it, but as we saw when we did Chazaka, one of the key elements of Chazaka that we need to analyze by itself now is Micha'a. So what is Micha'a? Literally means protesting, but yeah, right? Meaning it's when the original owner, Andrew again, when Andrew protests Rami's squatting and he says, Mapitom, what are you doing? Get off my land. We'll get to the exact details. But as we saw, that is critical to, the establishment of Chazaka. And one of the key questions in it is the one we already saw briefly on Chavchet Amud Bet, which is the question of Micha'a Shelo Befanav, which is, can you protest not in front of the squatter? Does that work? Okay, before we look at the Gemara, we have to remember, recall, since we've done a lot of circuits since then, in order to understand the questions of the exact natures of Micha'a, so we need to remember, what is the role of Micha'a in Chazaka? So let's just refresh our memories. So someone tell me, what is the role of Micha'a in Chazaka? What is the, yeah? Okay, right. So one way of looking at it is, look, as Ezra says, really it's about the Chazaka. Really what gives Rami his rights in the land is Chazaka. The role of Micha'a is just to break up the Chazaka. It needs to be uninterrupted Chazaka. But fundamentally, however you wanted to formulate it, let's say Muchzakut, right, that simply holding on to the land gives him power, but you can undermine that through Micha'a. Right, that's one way of looking at it, that Chazaka is the Iker, Micha'a breaks it, right? It needs to be uninterrupted Chazaka, Micha'a is what interrupts it. Okay, good. What other models did we have of the relationship between Micha'a and Chazaka? Right? Remember, there were different elements. There was another possibility, right? I mean, what Ezra said is right, but there are subcategories within that, right? One is that it breaks up the Chazaka, but there's another, which is it focuses just on the Shtar. Oh. Right? Remember that really Chazaka is whatever it is. You need Micha'a because if there were no Micha'a, then the fact that Rami didn't hold on to the Shtar would weaken his claim in the land. Micha'a is to make sure he holds on to the Shtar, and once there's Micha'a, then Rami has to hold on to the Shtar. If he doesn't hold on to the Shtar, that counteracts his evidence. And then, if you remember, there was Rabbeinu Yonah, where Rabbeinu Yonah essentially said, Micha'a actually creates the Chazaka. Remember the whole game theory thing, which is, since I know that after 3 years, Beis Din will not demand evidence, therefore, if Andrew doesn't protest within the time in which Rami is still expected to provide evidence, so the fact that Andrew didn't protest in such time is what provided the evidence. But that means that Micha'a doesn't just undermine. Right? It's not that Chazaka stands by itself and Micha'a potentially undermines it, but it's the lack of Micha'a is itself what creates the evidence that it really is Rami's. Because, right? Meaning it was the Micha'a actually generated the Chazaka. Right? Because of all the assumptions we're making psychologically, right, the fact that he didn't protest in this time is in fact what made the Chazaka. It's not just it breaks the Chazaka, it's the lack of Micha'a is what creates the Chazaka, and that's why making a Micha'a undermines Chazaka, not because it's like an outside force that undermines Chazaka, but because Chazaka depends on the psychological assumptions we make when someone doesn't protest. Now, this is important because, right, if we go back for a minute to the Gemara on Chafchet Amud Bet, right, which we've already seen. So let's start there since we had seen it before. So if you remember, the Gemara there was in the middle of comparing Chazakah of Gimel Shanim to what? What was the initial attempted source? Shormua. And in the middle of that sugya, what did the Gemara say? Maskiv lo Rav Avira el meyata micha'a shelo befanav lo deheve macha'a dumya de shormuad ma shormuad befanav be'inan avachanami befanav be'inan. Right, the Gemara said, well, if you compare chazaka to shor hamuad, so then just like by shor muad, you need ha'ada'a in front of the owner. So here you need macha'a in front of the owner. What's the problem? What's the problem with that question? Now that we're focusing on Macha, what's the problem with that question, Andrew? Right? What's weird? The Gemara says, we highlighted this already when we did the original sugya. When the Gemara says, if you're going to compare Chazaka to Shor Muad, so then just like by Shor Muad warning the owner to make the animal into a Muad needs to be done in front of the owner, so too Macha should be done in front of the squatter. What's the problem? Yeah, very good, right? Is that this parallelism is odd, meaning you're trying to prove chazaka from Shor Muad, but then what do? You pull out macha'a, right, which isn't the establishment of chazaka, it's the undermining of chazaka at first glance, and therefore you're saying you have to do it not in front of the original owner, but from the squatter, right, meaning it doesn't seem to parallel, right, meaning the shormua, the ha'ada'a, the warning of the animal creates the chazaka, and then you're paralleling it with the undermining of the chazaka, right? Which flips who is responsible here, right? So it's a very weird, right, comparison to begin with. So how do you even resolve this? Right? How do you deal with this? So let's look. Let's look at Tosfos in the Balamor. Yeah. What? That was in the middle of the rejection of the Shor Muad comparison. Right, right. That was all the way back to the beginning of the year. Actually, before we look at the Yishonim, you tell me, right? I mean, that's what's weird here. How could you theoretically deal with this problem? Right? Meaning, how could you deal with this very, we talked about it a little bit in Chavchet of Bet, but now let's come back to that question. Right? I mean, how might you deal with this problem? That the Gemara, when challenging the Chazaka, the Chazaka Shel Befanav compares Macha'a to Ha'ada'a, right? Compares the creation of the status of Shor Muad, right? The warning of the owner, your animal is a goring animal, with Macha'a, which at first glance is an undermining of the, Chazaka, right? How do you deal with the fact that Gemara did that, right? What might that tell us about the chazaka, or the nature of chazaka, or the nature of macha'a, or the relationship chazaka to macha'a, right? What might this tell us? If you don't have something, we can look at the Rishonim. It's fine. Okay, so let's start with the Rishonim then. So turn to the Baal HaMo'or. So let's, Ezra, Bio. Who's the Baal HaMo'or? What? Very good. He's Provence. Because he's got a light name. Oh, thank you. I'm very proud. You should know, it's almost like a joke, but I once thought it was a joke when he quotes his brother. His brother is Prachya. And it's like, it sounds like made up names, like Zrachya and Prachya, but it's actually his names. Yes. Right, but he lives most of his life out in Provence. Reb Zrachia Halevi, very good. So, what was special about the Baal HaMor? He wrote a book that did what? What was it? What was the goal of his book? No, it was to criticize the Rif. It was to criticize the Rif. Now, this was a problem. Why was this a problem? Because the Rif was like super, 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 super important. He was like one of the most important of the Rishonim. And when did Reb Zrachia Halevi write his book, The Baal HaMor? When he was like a teenager or something. Right? So it was viewed as quite an affront on the honor of the Rif that a teenager writes a particularly harif book against the Rif. It was such an affront that it elicited a response. Who wrote the response? No, the Rif was dead. The person on the other side of the page. You have it open. Who is it? Yes, who's the Melchamed Hashem? Now, you can already tell Melchamed Hashem is literally fighting words, right? Meaning, a commentary was written by a major Rishon to fight the holy war, to defend the Rif from the Baal HaMor, and the author of said book, we'll get to it in a second, writes in his introduction that don't think that I always think the Rif is right. I don't. Sometimes I think the Rif is wrong. But,
wrong.
No, but it was so chutzpahdik. Right? He writes an introduction. He says, Torah is not like math. It's law. And therefore, it's not arguments of 100-0. It's plausibility. So I don't always agree with the Rif, but to have the chutzpah to say the Rif is indefensible and this young whippersnapper to come and to tell the Rif that what he said is impossible, no. And therefore, even if I don't agree with the Rif, I don't think it's the most plausible read. I'm going to show you why it's possible and it makes sense, and that someone shouldn't have the chutzpah to treat the Rif like that. Now, who was the major Rishon who stepped in to defend the Rif? Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, also known as the Ramban, right? The Ramban. And the Ramban steps in to defend the Rif from the chutzpah of the young teenager or whatever, Reb Zrachia Halevi. So that's the Baal HaMor. So the Baal HaMor writes as follows. He addresses this question. So if you look, it's like, I don't know which ones you have, but it's towards the end of the Baal HaMor and you dalet on an aleph in the Dape Arif. He writes, Ela mecha'a, me'ata mecha'a shelo befonav, lo tehave mecha'a. Bidinu detikshile elameyato chazaka shel bifanav lotahave chazaka di dum yedishoramuad. The Baal HaMor says, I don't understand. If you want parallelism, it should not be that Andrew has to protest Rami squatting in front of Rami. It should be that Rami has to squat in front of Andrew. Because Rami's chazaka is the creation of the status, just like the warning, the ha'ada'ah, is the creation of the status of the shramuad, as opposed to here where the macha'ah is the undermining of the status. Say it again? It is a bad parallel, meaning why are you paralleling the undermining of chazaka with the creation? The undermining of status with the creation of status. Right? The parallel to Ezra warning Yaakov that his animal out there in Wisconsin is a violent animal and should be tamed, because, you know, now we're playing into stereotypes that he has wild oxen in his backyard. Yaakov's like, I do. This is not a stereotype, but I do. I'm a cowboy and I have a nice ranch out there. What? What? I could see you liking a wrench. You're like the right amount of outdoorsy, you know. Oi, Ezra. Okay, so why is it that we compare Andrew's challenge to Rami squatting to Ezra's warning, which creates the status that Yaakov's animal is a shormuad? That doesn't make sense. It should be, right? It should be that it's compared to Rami squatting in front of Andrew, not Andrew's challenge in front of Rami. So that's the Balamor's question. And he says, Ela mishum shechazaka tluya b'macha'a, v'ikar tam lechazaka v'nezeh shelo michalav. He says, very simple. Right? And we saw this already in Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, there's an easy answer. Is if you hold like Rabbeinu Yonah, that macha'a isn't undermining the chazaka, but it's the lack of macha'a that creates the chazaka. Right? It's Andrew's silence that creates the presumption that Rami is the legitimate squatter. Meaning, it's not that macha'a undermines the chazaka, but it's the lack of macha'a that creates the chazaka. So then macha'a isn't a chazaka breaker. Macha'a, or the lack thereof, is a chazaka maker. And if that's the case, so then they are, in fact, almost parallel, right? And it's still not perfect, but it's much better if you don't conceptualize macha as a chazaka breaker, but you conceptualize the lack of macha as a chazaka maker. So then it's true that macha is more parallel to ha'adah because it's central to the creation rather than the undermining of the chazaka. You're right. It's still not identical, but he says you have to, if you view macha'a merely as under, right, meaning if you think that chazaka is a direct creation, squatting directly gives you ownership, and macha'a has the potential to undermine it, then it's really the opposite. But if you say that no, chazaka is basically irrelevant if it weren't for the fact that macha'a, that it elicits macha'a, right, and a lack of elicited macha'a is itself what creates a status. So then macha'a is more on the creation side than the destruction side, and therefore it's at least closer to being parallel. That's, again, it's not perfect, but it's better. And that's how the Balamor deals with it. So he says, Ela mishum shechazaka tluya b'macha'a, v'ikar hatam lechazaka mibnei zeh shelo michalav. Chazaka is created by macha'a. Namely, the fact that Andrew said nothing to Rami. That's what creates it. And he said, once you say that, he says, look, now he wants to solve Ezra's problem. Because Ezra says, well, wait a second, it's still not parallel. He says, yes, but it may be true that by the end of this sugya, Rami also needs to have the chazaka in front of Andrew. So, but what created that was macha'a. Meaning, really the argument goes as follows. Just like Ezra has to warn Yaakov in front of him in order to grant the status to the animal to be a mu'ad, Rami has to squat in front of Andrew. But you couldn't say chazaka, you couldn't directly parallel chazaka shelo b'fanav to, or b'fanav or shelo b'fanav, to the case of the shor mu'ad, because macha'a is what creates the legal significance of chazaka. So therefore he says, first step is recognize that macha'a is part of a chazaka creator rather than a chazaka destroyer. Step two, once you recognize that, saying macha'a shelo b'fanav is really a catch-all for the fact that Rami has to provoke Andrew in front of him, and Andrew has to challenge Rami in front of him. Meaning, but the since what gets the whole ball rolling is the macha'a part, we call it macha'a shelo b'fanav because it's a chazaka creator. What we really mean is the creation of a chazaka, both parts of it, meaning both the squatting and the challenge or lack thereof, must be done in the presence of the relevant parties. But the reason we focus on macha'a and not chazaka is because macha'a is a chazaka creator rather than a chazaka breaker. Right? That's how he conceptualizes it. So Ezra, you're right. You can't just say, oh, well, macha'a is a chazaka creator, because it still practically is destroying the chazaka, even though conceptually the silence is what creates it. But he says, you call it macha'a shel v'fanav, because since the macha'a or lack thereof is what will give the chazaka its legal significance, so therefore the reason chazaka needs to be v'fanav is so that macha'a can be v'fanav. Right? But really what generates it is macha'a. And that's why we call it. So let's just read it. He says, and therefore, once you say macha'a has to be fun of, chazaka would have to be fun of. If macha'a doesn't have to be fun of, chazaka wouldn't. Meaning, all the rules for chazaka and macha'a will follow macha'a, because macha'a is what creates chazaka. The Gemara isn't saying macha'a alone. It's saying macha'a and chazaka have to be fun of. And that's why it's parallel to Shor Muad. But the reason we highlight macha'a as being the one that's more parallel is because macha'a is the chazaka creator, not the chazaka breaker. Yes. The unutilized opportunity for macha'a is the chazaka breaker, which you're right, still creates not a perfect parallelism to Hadah, and that's why he blurs the lines. He says, we call it macha'a because macha'a is the chazaka creator. But by macha'a shel b'fanav, we mean macha'a and chazaka, which both has to be done b'fanav, Rami in front of Andrew, Andrew in front of Rami. But we highlight macha'a because conceptually macha'a is the chazaka creator. You're right, practically it's not, right? In order to have a chazaka which is effective, it has to be one which could elicit a macha'a which would be effective.
But
100%. And that's very good. And now you understand what the Gemara is going to get on Lamed Chet. Right? Meaning, the reason it's important to focus on the first time we introduce this sugya is because, yes, why does the Gemara bend over backwards to figure out how many people do you have to do macha'a in front of? What happens if you're in a far-off place and no one will be able to hear? Is it in front of two witnesses? Is it in front of three witnesses? What does that tell you about macha'a? Right? All that's very important because, right, this whole complex, yeah, it's very important to pinpoint conceptually what exactly is macha'a, where does it have to happen, who has to know, how does that work, etc. Yes, 100%, Ezra, that's exactly the point. So the Balmora solution to the problem, though, is to basically say, we parallel ha'adah, right, the warning for the animal with macha'a, because macha'a, or at least everything it implies, is a chazaka creator. And in Ochanami, when we say macha'a shel b'fanav, or b'fanav, what we mean is macha'a and chazaka and everything, but we focus on macha'a because it is the chazaka creator, conceptually speaking, if not practically. Right, meaning obviously without a chazaka, the macha'a would be meaningless, right, or the lack of macha'a would be meaningless. In Ochanami, there's an interaction there that you can't deny, but conceptually it really starts, the legal significance is from the macha'a. Right, that is the way the Balamor solves this problem. Tosvos, however, disagrees. So if you look at Tosvos Elameata, right, this is on Chachet Amud Bet. So Tosvos asked this question as well, and he said, I don't understand. One second, how many lines is it? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong... That's why. There are two Elamayatas, right? Yes. Yes, sorry, I was in the wrong Tosfos. The second Tosfos. Second Tosfos of Chazaka Bet. Not Elamayata Chazaka Sheni Matayna, but Elamayata Chazaka Shlo B'fanav. So Tosfos says, Perish Ri. Dehechidi alafta mishor amua devi chazaka bishlosha. Vishlosha zimne yachanami neilif mashor tzarchada befanav. Just, right, this was in the Havamin in the Gemara where it said, just like Shormua needs 3 times, so Chazaka needs 3 years. But once you're learning that, so you should say, Mashor Tzarech Adav Afanav, Velo Omar Kala Islay, and we don't say that it's enough for people to hear about it. Ezra actually has to challenge Yaakov to his face. So shouldn't Andrew have to challenge Rami to his face? So he says, right? Because we're worried that if you don't do it in front of him, he won't hear about it. Said, the reason that Ezra seems to have to tell Yaakov to his face that his animal is wild is so that Yaakov knows his animal is wild and he will deal with it. And we don't trust that if Ezra screamed into the void and said, Yaakov's animal is wild, that Yaakov would somehow sense in the cosmos that Ezra has said that to him. So, and the same thing is true of Macha'a. That we can't assume that Andrew just protests wherever and Rami will then know to be careful and hold on his shtar. V'af al gav shemacha ba'al vatal chazaka v'ha'ada ba'al lekayim. And he says, wait a second, how are you comparing it? Macha comes to break a chazaka, and ada comes to create shormuad, right? Unlike Balamor, who says, no, conceptually speaking, macha is a chazaka creator rather than a chazaka breaker. Tosha said, no, macha really is a chazaka breaker. So then, smasher, fine. A chazaka smasher, you like that better? A chazaka smasher. A chazaka annihilator. A chazaka terminator, okay? I don't care. Come up with whatever you want, right? Right? You can come up with the nerdiest movies ever, okay? Fine? Yalla. Yes, Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonated as Macha. Fine, okay? This is how nerdy ideas come to fruition. Or nerdy Purim spills, usually. V'ha'ad d'nakat mecha v'lanakat chazaka mishom d'chazaka nishma'at v'ma'adam amacha'in nishma'at yoter. It says very simple. Listen. He said, you're right. Conceptually, the proper parallel, the proper analogy to Ha'adah is Chazaka, not Mecha. Rami is like imagining this Purim spiel now in his head, right? Good. You know that it's the imagination of this very nerdy Purim spiel in your head right now that will make sure you never forget the sugya of Chizkiv Yom Hashanah. He's like, I need to grab a coffee so that I can write the film, anyways. Fine. So Tosu says, listen, yes, you're 100% right. Macha is a chazaka terminator. Just like, unlike Ha'ada, which is a shormuad creator. And therefore, Macha should not be parallel to Ha'ada. Chazaka should be parallel to Ha'ada. 100%, you're right. There's a technical problem. Technical problem. And that is, that Chazaka, you might have thought for purely pragmatic reasons, Chazaka can be done not in front of Andrew, while Macha'a must be done in front of Rami. Why? Practical. What's his practical claim? He says, look, if Rami is squatting on Andrew's land day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, eating his kiwis and just keeping eating it, eventually that's the type of information that in front of Andrew, not in front of Andrew, will get back to Andrew. Right? It'll get back to Andrew. Eichshehu. Either someone will say, Andrew, did you know that Rami is squatting on your land? Or Andrew, did you sell your wonderful kiwi orchard to Rami? What are you doing? You don't like kiwis anymore? What, did you develop an allergy? Or Andrew, what, you went on the keto diet and fruit are not part of this, right? So you gave up on fruit. It's only almond flour pizza now or whatever. See, I pay attention to whatever these weird conversations that are going on are. I'm sure it's wonderfully tasty. No, it's horrible. I haven't tried Eigensburg's recipe for the keto pizza. That's the problem. That's why it hasn't tasted good enough, because he has the best recipe. I can imagine. Almond flour is a very strong taste. It's a very strong taste. It's like Pesach cookies. You know, it's sometimes used like almond flour. It's like very intense. You can do it well with Pesach cookies, because like cookies, if you add enough sugar to almond flour, you know, whatever. It can be done. It's just a fortune. What? I was going to say, it's, remember the chametz and matzah are created from the same thing. That's actually the definition, right? Maybe we'll do that sugya just for you. Just to explain why what you just said is wrong conceptually. Correct. Yeah, no, that's the vacuum of matzah. Yes. So anyway, the Tosafot says, look, it's not conceptually you're right. Chazaka is more powerful, parallel to Adah. It's more analogous to Adah. But you could, for pragmatic reasons, believe that Rami is allowed to... Rami's squatting is effective, whether or not it's in front of Andrew, because word will get back to Andrew. Macha is not like that. Macha may or may not get back to Rami, and that's why we insist that it must be done with Rami present, according to the Shita that Macha shall befun of Lohavye Macha. Now, if this is the case, according to, right now, it's still a little bit weird, right? I'll admit that Tosafot is still a bit weird, because, meaning, that may be true, but once you've acknowledged that Macha'a is the conceptual opposite of Ha'ada'a, the fact that it's pragmatically more similar seems to not be a good enough reason to challenge it based on the comparisons. I'm not really sure what to do with that, right? But it is true that Tosafot, unlike the Baal HaMor, maintains the notion. What's clear is that he maintains the notion that Macha is the underminer, the terminator of Chazakos, and therefore you may have to stretch the plausibility to compare it to Ha'ada'a, but in the end of the day, it remains true that Chazaka is a status creator, Macha is a status breaker and terminator, and therefore Macha is less parallel to Ha'ada'a than Chazaka is. And again, this may be because, as we talked about when we did Chazaka, that Chazaka creates, you know, creates status, maybe, you know, actually creates ownership. Okay. Fine. did I give you the iter? I didn't, right? I think I meant to, but it's okay. Iter is always hard to read, so let me say the iter outside. Baal Itzur, yes. Oh yeah, who's the Itzur? The Itzur is also Provençal. Ezra, who's the Baal HaItzur? Sorry, I thought I gave him to him, but I realized I did not give you the Itzur on the sheet. That's fine. But who is the Itzur? Also Provence. What? The Itzur, Ayin Yud Tet Vav Resh. No, not the Baal HaItzur. Yes, we did see the Itzur at least once before. Yeah, we did. We did see him once before. So the Itzur says, like Tosafot, thinks that the reason we choose Macha'a rather than Chazaka is purely practical. Yes. Yitzchak ben Abba Mari. Very good. So the Itzur says, look, he thinks the opposite. He says, no, 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 no. It's the opposite. Andrew, When you challenge Rami, everybody's going to hear about that. You know why? It's good gossip. They're very good. It's good gossip. Because Rami living on Andrew's field, that's not gossip. Oh, Andrew might have sold his land, so Rami's eating his kiwis. That's not gossip. Right? That's business. Andrew getting up and saying, Rami is a thief. He stole my land. Now, that's the type of thing that gets publicity. Right? That's the type of thing that gets heard. And he says, no. The reason you compare macha'a to ha'ada'a is because chazaka, it's not like in your face. Chazaka is a reality. Rami is living on the land. Maybe you'll hear about it, maybe you won't. Ha'ada'a is Ezra yelling at Yaakov and saying, Yaakov, tame your animals. Put them in their pens. They're crazy. They're goring. Right? And Andrew yelling and saying, Rami, you thief, you're taking my kiwis. Give me my field back. Right? Those are similar. They're screaming, yelling matches that everyone wants to hear about. And yet, in both cases, we insist that it happens in front of the relevant party. We don't just let it, we don't rely, though again, on Lamed Chet, we may rely on gossip, but at this stage, the Gemara is saying, why don't you say, in either case, we rely on gossip, even though it's juicy gossip, both of them, why, according to the Shita, that Hadassah should be in front of, Chazaka should be in front of, and in both cases, you should say, no matter how juicy the seeming gossip is, we don't rely on the gossip mills to get the information back to Rami or to Yaakov. We insist that in both cases, you actually say what you mean to the person to whom it matters. So again, the Itur is the exact opposite, practically, of Tosfot. Tosfot said we compare it's a macha, because chazaka, for sure you're going to hear about, and chazaka, everyone will hear about, regardless of whether you do it b'fanav. Macha, maybe not, and therefore macha, which is the one that requires publicity, we compare da'ada, which requires telling the owner. That's Tosfot. The Itur is the opposite. It's no, both of these are juicy gossip, and yet, by ha'ada, we require Ezra to yell at Yaakov to his face. So it must be that Andrew will have to yell at Rami to his face. Common denominator, according to both of them, seemingly, is that they're totally okay with saying that chazaka is the status creator, macha is not. Right? Unlike, right, the Baal HaMor took a conceptual route. The Baal HaMor says we focus on macha because macha is the status creator and therefore it's parallel to ha'ada'a. For both Baal HaMor and both Tosfos and the Itur, that's irrelevant. Chazaka creates the status, macha breaks it. Macha undermines it. That's true. This is a purely technical question, which is... meaning, according to them, it's not about the formal status. According to the Baal HaMor, it is. According to Tosfos and the Itur, it's a practical comparison. Is we say, look, don't think too much about what's creating the status and what's destroying the status. Chazaka is... Wow, that was low. Did you see that? It was like right... It's like... Where is it going? There's no airport near Modi'in. Wow, okay. I don't know what that was doing there. But fine. No. Okay, I don't know. Anyways, all I know that was very close overhead. Fine, but according to both Tosfos and the Baal HaMor, there is no need to make a conceptual link and say macha'a is involved in the creation of status. They're willing to say no. Chazaka is independently creates status, right? Either through muhtakut, like we talked about, or it creates a raya. It creates whatever it creates, and macha'a undermines it. they're comparable for practical reasons. Either for Tosfot, because Macha and Hada'ah are both less spread, and Chazaka is more spread, or according to the Bala Iter, no, Chazaka and Macha and Hada'ah are both more spread, and nevertheless, Hada'ah needs to be befanav. But both of them, unlike Balamor, can maintain that Chazaka really is an independent status creation or evidentiary creation or whatever, and Macha undermines it. Right? Now, remember, this doesn't have to be, all our questions at the beginning of the year, is Chazaka creation of status through Muchzakut? Is it creation of evidence? That's not what I'm talking about here. For here, all that matters is Macha the creator of whatever it is, evidence, status, etc., or the underminer of whatever is being created. That's all that matters here, right? That's the division that's being created. It doesn't matter for this purpose whether Chazaka is creating status, Muchzakut, or creating evidence. It doesn't matter, right? The point here is that Tosfot and the Iter both think that Chazaka is the positive side of the equation, Macha is the negative, and they explain away with the technicality why Macha'a can be compared, therefore, to Ha'adah, which is clearly the positive side of the equation, as opposed to the Balamor, who says, no, if Macha'a is compared to Ha'adah, it's because it's part of the positive side of the equation. And that's where you're left with Tosfot and the Iftar. Rav Lochanan gives one more possibility here as follows, as they write here. You could, the common denominator between the Iftar and Tosfot is that the only comparison between Chazaka and Macha'a is Mitzius, right? Mitzius is practical concerns. But he says it could be yitachen shehavdil eino b'mitziyut ela b'drisha hilchatit b'chol echad me'atchumim. It could be that it's about the legal requirements, namely gam im b'mitziyut otzmato shel kol zeheh. He said Tosfot and the Iter are both assuming how well known will Chazaka be, how well known will Macha'a be, how well known will Ha'adah be. But maybe that wasn't the question. Maybe everyone agrees to how well-known the Chazaka will become, the Macha will become. Maybe it's the same. Maybe the difference is what is needed. Right? There's always a question, right? Methodological point, methodological sidebar. Right? But pretty much everything in halacha, you always have to ask the following. When someone puts out a requirement, they can be arguing about one of two things. Either, what do you have? Or what do you need? Right? Right? Is this clear? Meaning, if I say, if Andrew comes into a store to buy a cell phone, and he hands the guy $300, and the guy says, that's not enough, right? They could be arguing for two reasons, right? One could be, what do you need? The store owner says it's $400. And Andrew says, but I saw an ad that it's $300. You have to give it to me for $300. So they're arguing not about what they have, but what they need. Or they could be arguing what they have. They agree the price is $300, but he looks at it and he says, Andrew, you look like a counterfeiter. That's not $300. That's $200 and Monopoly money, right? So now they're not arguing about what you need. They agree you need $300. They're arguing about whether this is real money or not, what you have. So, according to Tosfot and the Iter, they're arguing about what do you have. Meaning they're saying, the halacha is not in question here. The question is, how loud, how public, what's going on? The Matthias question of, we all basically understand the halacha. The question is, how public is it, etc.? Right? But we have a basic consensus idea of what is necessary. You just got to figure out how we get there. Right? Or what we have. Do we have enough publicity here? But you could have said, no. What we're arguing about is not how powerful it is non-in-your-face challenges. right? In terms of practical, like how are they going to hear or not hear about it? But what is needed, meaning, chazaka bimuta inomata atarati. So this is how it would go. Chazaka, even if it's what creates the status, right? This is Rav Lichtenstein's suggestion. Even though chazaka creates the status, and in that sense, you might be tempted, like the Balamor. No, sorry, not like the Balamor. You might be tempted to compare chazaka to ha'ada, because both of them are about creating the status. There's a difference that's important here, and that is, ha'ada is what he calls ma'aseh hatsarati. What's hatsarati? I'll just teach you Hebrew. What's a hatsara? A declaration. A declaration. A hatsara is a declaration. Right? I think hatsara da'atzmaut is the declaration of independence of Israel. Right? I think that's what it's called in Hebrew. Hatsara. Chazaka is not. Meaning, yes, chazaka is parallel to ha'adah in the sense that they might both be status creators. But they don't do it in the same way. Chazaka, as he says, is not declarative. What is it? It's what we call, it's metzias b'shetach, right? It creates a reality on the ground. Right? It creates a reality on the ground. Right? Think, how many of you follow international politics and critiques of Israel? Right? Why is it, I'm sure you've heard this. When people challenge settlements, what is their number one critique? Not that it's making a declaration this is our land. We know that already. We know that the people who settle think that the land is theirs. Why do people get annoyed? Again, I live in a settlement. I'm not saying it's bad. But what if on both sides of the equation, right? People who are like gung-ho on creating settlements no matter what, they'll often say, why are they doing it? Because it changes the status quo. Because once there's 100,000 people living on a settlement, you can't, even though you might think it's illegal, you have to do something with them, so it'll be harder to kick them out practically. And the people who challenge them say the exact same thing. The reason we don't want you living there is because it creates the status quo. Chazaka is like that. Chazaka, whatever it is, the way it creates, whatever status it creates, is not through declaration, but through facts on the ground. Right? Rami never said, this is my kiwi orchard. He just acted as if it were his kiwi orchard. Right? Mitziyot shebe sofo shel davar tagilei dato shomer hakama. And we just assume that eventually, after enough time of Rami sitting on that property, Andrew will hear about it and have to do something. Even though Rami never did anything, right? Didn't shove it in his face. It just happened. Wait, one second. And he says, if that's the case, he says, it could be that you assume that by chazaka, you're going to suffice with less because it's not confrontational, meaning because what gives chazaka its power is not the confrontation, therefore it is allowed to reach Andrew in a non-confrontational way. Meaning, it doesn't matter, Andrew, right? Does it matter to Andrew whether he finds out that Rami is on his property because Yaakov tells him, Andrew, you know, he asked him in a non-confrontational way, hey, I saw Rami on your land. That's interesting. Did you rent it to him for a little bit? Or if Ezra comes over to him and he says, Andrew, I can't believe what's happening. Right? Rami is on your land. It doesn't matter how the information gets to Andrew because it's non-confrontational. The question there is, what does it elicit from Andrew? But macha'a, by its nature, is confrontational. It's declarative. And maybe the point is like this, that chazaka not in front of Andrew may equally be heard by Andrew as Andrew's challenge not in front of Rami. Maybe Rami will hear about it. But what's the difference? If Andrew doesn't yell at Rami to his face, Rami's not going to take it seriously because since it's meant to be confrontational, if it's done in a non-confrontational way, then what? It's not confrontational. Let me give you an example, okay? Let's say Let's I don't want this to happen to any of you, so an imaginary person, okay? Whatever. Fine. Jack. Fine. Just random name. Fine. Jack. Is there any difference between whether, right? Let's say Jack is, is told that someone saw that his house is on fire. What's Jack's reaction? Call the fire department. Now, does it make any difference whether someone says, Jack, I saw your house on fire, or Jack, I saw your house on fire because arsonists did it? Right? In the end of the day, the first reaction that he's going to do is, let's put out the fire. Right? Right? Let's put out the fire. Because in the end of the day, what he's responding to is the reality that his house is burning. He has to solve that problem. However, would take a different case. I tell Jack, I saw some sketchy people with masks over their head breaking into your, right, climbing up the ladder into your window and wrenching it open. Right? What's Jack's reaction? Call the police, shoot, depending on what part of the country you're in. Sure. In some places, call the police. Apparently, where Rami lives, it's take out your gun and shoot. But okay, fine. I was like, you live in Teaneck. That's not unlikely to be the reaction. But fine. But what if you told Jack, I saw your son by your house. He looked like he lost his key, so he was struggling to climb in the open window to open the door. What's Jack's reaction likely to be? Either, good, I'll help him. Oh, I have an extra key. Tell him to go to the neighbor. They have an extra key, right? Why? Because in the case of the fire, he's responding to the reality on the ground. It doesn't matter whether it was vicious, not vicious, right? What made it a problem was the reality. In the other case, what made it a problem wasn't that someone was climbing through the window, but was that it was a thief. Right? And that elicited response. That demands a response. So it could be the same as here, where Chazaka, Andrew doesn't want Rami to be known as the new owner on this field, and therefore the information you can get from Rami, however the information gets from Rami to Andrew that he's squatting on the land, it doesn't matter, confrontational, not confrontational, etc. But macha'a, it's only called a macha'a because it's a protest, right? If someone is angry at me, and the way that they deal with their anger is by screaming into the void, right? Like John Oliver actually set up a website like this once, right? He wanted to encourage people to scream into the void and not actually cause damage. So he just created a website where you could yell, right? You could write whatever you wanted and it would disappear forever, right? It was like type into the void or something, right? If I heard that someone was angry at me, but the way he dealt with it was he locked himself in a soundproof room and yelled for 10 minutes, but he never brought it up with me, or I could not care less. I would say he's probably not that angry. It's his problem, not mine, right? If he doesn't say it to me, he just fumes in a room, so let him stew. What do I care? What makes it a challenge, what makes it a fight, is that it's a fight, right? That he says it to my face. So Rav Lichtenstein says maybe the reason you have to compare it, it's because not necessarily like the Balamor, that Macha'a is actually part of the creative part. Right? And not just like the Bala Isser and Tosfot, that Macha'a is a Chazaka breaker, but they're comparable for practical reasons. Right? But different in the sense that, no, maybe the reason you compare them is because what we're really saying is Ha'adah at a certain level gets its force from the fact that Ezra challenged Yaakov. Right? He pushed him, he challenged him, he yelled at him, and he said, your animal is rampaging. Deal with the problem. What made it serious is that Ezra challenged Yaakov to his face. If he didn't do it to his face, Yaakov's not going to take it seriously, because since it's meant to be a confrontation, it has to be confrontational. Otherwise, it's meaningless. Macha'a, whether you think it's creative or destructive in terms of creating the status, it is confrontational. It's that confrontation that gives it the status of Macha'a. It's a protest. A protest must be said, it must actually be a challenge. It's not theoretical. What makes a challenge a challenge, what makes a protest is that it protests something to the person who is responsible. And therefore you compare them. So again, you can say whatever you want about Chazaka. It's evidentiary, it creates muchzakos. Say what you want about Chazaka. But the reason Chazaka can't be compared directly to Hada'ah is because it's not declarative, it's not confrontational in nature, and therefore there's no reason to say it has to be in your face, even if the information about the Chazaka will get to Andrew equally as well as the Macha'a information will get from Andrew to Rami. It doesn't matter. You might have thought that Macha'a, because it needs to be confrontational, like Adam, must be done to his face to create the confrontation, because that's what makes it what it is. Okay? So what we're left with at this point, therefore, is that the Baal Hamor, in the end of the day, what he sees in this sugya is evidence that Macha'a is the Chazaka creator. So yes, the Chazaka is also part of the story, but we focus on Macha'a because it creates it. Tosfot, the Bala Iter, Lichtenstein's formulation, which is similar to theirs, right, saying, no, maybe really Chazaka is either the Muchzaka creator or the evidence creator, but is the status creator, whatever you want it. And Macha'a is the undermining. Fine. The reason we compare them is either totally pragmatic, like Tosfos and Bala Iter, which is how likely is it for someone to hear about a Macha'a Shel Bafanav versus Chazaka Shel Bafanav, or the way Lichtenstein says it is no. The reason we compare Chazaka and Macha'a is not, says there's nothing about the status of Chazaka. Chazaka is the creation of status or evidence. Macha'a is its challenge. It's because what the Gemara is saying is maybe confrontations always need to happen in person, or they're not confrontations. Chazaka, whatever it is not confrontational. Or at least not directly in the way that Ha'adah is, or the way Macha'a is. Okay, let's stop there for today, right? We've gotten through just the Sugya and Chavchet Amud Bet. With all of this in mind, right, and again, as you're going through the Sugya on Lamed Chet, what you have to remember is, keep this all in mind. The question of what is Chazaka? Is it creating Muchzakut? Is it creating evidence? What's the role of Macha'a? Is it only the undermining of the Chazaka, or is it what creates it? Is it the conflict, right? Is the lack of understanding that creates the status? All of that, right, you should keep in mind when the Gemara starts asking, well, what is Macha'a? Right? The first question the Gemara had asked was only, does it have to happen in front of him? But then once the Gemara says, what counts? Where do you have to be? In front of two, in front of three. The Gemara is weighing in both of what Macha'a is and what... This is what you have to keep in mind. Constantly, you have to wonder, is it, when the Gemara claims to be asking a question about Macha'a, is it really asking a question about Macha'a, or is it asking a question about Chazaka? Right? It could be either. It could be saying, I think Chazaka has to be X, so, and therefore Macha'a has to be Y, or is it saying, this is not about Chazaka. It's about Macha'a itself. Right? You have to ask that constantly. You have to remember all these factors as you go through it. Okay, let's stop there because we've...